Welcome to the Buckhead Church Podcast. If you want to learn how you can be more engaged with our church, check us out online at buckheadchurch.org, or you can connect with us on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter. I hope the following message inspires you to take the next step forward in your faith journey. Check it out.
Hey, Buckhead Church, Clay back again. This podcast is a resource to inspire people to follow Jesus at home and at work. Today, I'm joined with my friend Jim Reese, the chairman, CEO, head honcho, El Jefe, the boss, the big man in charge over at Atlanta Mission, one of the most incredible organizations. Jim, how are you?
Good. Well, I better straighten out that introduction. First of all, you know, God's in charge, and everybody who works with him, I might be leading, but I screw that up different days. So, I'm doing well though, Clay. It's great to talk to you.
Well, thanks. I almost did that intro tongue in cheek because I know you are the least likely to lean on a title or to want to carry a big title like that. But you really are. I have so much reverence for you just because of the work that Atlanta Mission does. But also you as a person. Jim, I'm sure you've done stuff like this 100 times. But for those people that don't know, and I know you've spoken at Buckhead Church a couple different times, but can you give everybody a little bit of your just your own background, what got you to the point where you are leading Atlanta Mission now?
Yeah. So, Clay, I've been at the mission about 11 years. 11 years ago, God really called me to do something totally different than I expected. You know, I spent my life in the business world. I worked for General Foods, PepsiCo. My last role in the business world, I was CEO of Randstad and on the executive board, third largest staffing company in the world. Left Wow. there in 05, not sure what to do, and got a call. Mission was looking for somebody. I'd never done inner city ministry at all. I'd done a lot in church. And honestly, God moved in my heart and my family's heart. And so I came in August of 08, by the way, just before October of 08, when the world crashed. Mm. And so very different because of the economic, not just the economics we're facing now, but it's been, the hardest job I've ever had in my life. And I cannot imagine my life not having had the chance to do this. One of the unique things I could do is ask people, well, gosh, is God still doing miracles? And I say, spend a day with me. I'll show you the miracles God's doing every day.
Oh, that's beautiful. Well, obviously, part of the reason why we wanted to check in for this conversation was because of what's happening in the world. We're in the middle of a crisis. It's hitting everybody in different ways. And one of the questions we get most frequently from people is, hey, I'm sitting at home. I want to help. What can I do to help? We've really leaned on you, as we have so many different times over the years to say, hey, what can people do at home to help? So we'll get to that, but just tell us a little bit about the way life has changed in the last month, if it has at all, for Atlanta Mission and those that you serve.
Well, Clay, I would say it's been a pretty dramatic change. So a little over 40 days ago now, when the schools closed and, you really started to get the sense, we had been previous to that doing a lot of work around extra cleanliness, deep cleaning, all of the kind of stuff that was coming out. But at that point, when the schools closed and things changed, we were really at a critical juncture of what do we do to most protect our clients we're serving, our staff. And honestly, we were about 98% capacity, and we made a tough decision to say, we're going to ask clients who are not working and that they needed to stay on campus. And we made a conscious decision that if you were older than 60 at that time, to not go to our campus. And of course, with schools closed, we had issues with moms and kids that didn't have a place to go. So that was a first big step for us. So we lost about 50 of our staff just because of those kind of two circumstances. And we went kind of into an emergency mode of operation at all three of our campuses. We were serving over 600 people, Potter's House, Women's Center, and the Men's Center downtown. And, honestly, we know a lot more today. When you go back 40 days and you think about guidance and what people knew, there wasn't a lot. So we were trying to, we're leaning into the Lord. Lord, what do we really do? How do we protect our staff? And as I shared, the big thing for us, too, is all of a sudden we were kind of this 600-bed hospital that it felt like with no clinical or medical staff. What do we do? And so we did that. We operated there. Really, the only clients we let leave were those clients that were on their way to work and back and forth to work. We quit doing intake because, again, we were about 98% capacity and said, we think that might be a good first step. We went into heavy cleaning, screening, which was recommended by the CDC. So we were screening everybody, temperature, all that, a couple times a day. And so we did that for about 2 weeks. And we had, truthfully, our first case where a gentleman had went to get tested and was positive, was really asymptomatic, but he was working. And so our concern was we needed to stop at that point and not allow people to leave the campus at all because it was too risk, because we can't really social distance. You've been on our campuses. It doesn't work. We did as right. much of that as we possibly could. But, it's been, our teams have been unbelievable to, to watch them run to the fire. In John 10, Jesus talks about the good shepherd versus the hired hand, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the flock, and the hired hand leaves when all of a sudden the wolf comes. Mm-hmm. And the thing that's been amazing to me is to watch our teams truly be those good shepherds, love and serve in the midst of that. So we've got about now we lost some people. So if they left, we couldn't let them come back. We actually, 2 weeks ago now, were tested on both of our campuses in town, 100% by the CDC and the health department and Mercy Care. And good news is we had one positive at our men's center, asymptomatic. We had three at the women's center, all asymptomatic again, single moms or singles with no kids, which was truthfully our big concern. There wasn't a place for a mom with children to go, so we were going to have to isolate them on campus. None of our staff were positive. And the CDC, one of the things I'm most proud of is the CDC debriefed with our teams and talked to us. They said, honestly, it's probably one of the safest places to be in Atlanta right now with all what you guys have done. So praise God for that. He's protected us. And honestly, in the homeless population across Atlanta, it hasn't been as prevalent. And, it's all over the map. There's a center in Boston, 340 people on campus, 147 people tested positive.
Holy cow.
So we've been operating kind of in that emergency mode, and everybody's at home right now and, kind of going crazy with their five kids or three kids or just crazy. Well, I tell people, imagine 200 plus women and kids on a campus, which is what we've got, and you can't go out for walks because you need to stay on the campus. 200 plus men on our men's campus. But, our teams have done so well and the community's been so great. Mm.
So with no intake right now, that's such a big part of what you do. What are the options right now for somebody who has hit a bump in the road and is homeless? Do they have any options?
Well, their options are very minimal. There's a couple centers in town that are still taking intake. Mm-hmm. Gateway, I know, is downtown. And part of this, truthfully, was as well. We've really tried to share with our clients because the decision was so hard for us, as you can imagine. But part of what we want to do is educate them. We actually had a student from Georgia State that put a video together explaining, in 7 minutes, what this is and why it's so critical you stay here. Yeah. Again, we can't control somebody leaving, unfortunately. My hope partly, Clay, even in some of that, is some that did leave, they would realize that, I need to do something different with my life going forward as well. But it's not good. There's been a war room set up by the city because people aren't feeding. So traditionally, food wouldn't be as critical in a downtown area. It's more critical now. Restaurants have been closed, all of those issues. For those, now I would tell you that some percentage of the people that left, actually families came and picked them up.
Right.
Or they went and stayed someplace. So let's just say 20% of those left did have an alternative, which we understood.
Well,
but not a good alternative right now.
I served through during Be Rich. I served at my sister's house, and I can't remember the gal's name that did the volunteer orientation up front that's on your staff. But she
Katrina?
I think it was Katrina. She did such a fantastic job. First of all, she did it with great energy. I mean, and this was 6 a.m. and she was bringing great energy. But the second thing is, I just remember how well she emphasized the values that you have. And one of the values of Atlanta Mission is that you're making progress, right? What is that the term you use?
Yeah. So we have, we're trying to get people to find hope, choose help, and make progress.
That is
those three areas. Those are the steps. Yep.
I love the make progress one. I've used that with my kids a lot. Hey, we're not trying to tell you, you got to finish everything right now. I just want to see that you're making progress. But, that's such a core value for you, is that people that are there are making progress, moving toward health and growth. And are they still able to do some of that during this season?
Well, we're doing kind of emergency, but you know, the thing that's been amazing to watch on all of our campuses is that, you know, they've been unified. So, you know, we can't keep the place clean. We clean in the morning, we clean after lunch, we clean at night. Deep cleanings, and they've all pitched in, and they're all doing that work within those campuses together. We couldn't maintain it, to be honest, without that, Clay. And you know, and I think for all of them, I think their appreciation, you know, when the governor said go home and you don't have a home, what do you do, right? So we were home. And so I think that was a unique situation for us. And so it became their home. And, you know, we're finding innovative things on our men's campus downtown. They've been doing Olympics on Friday. We brought in a ping pong table. We've got cornhole. We got basketball. We got cards. And so each Friday, if you win, you get this big WWE belt. And the guys wear it all week, but you got to re-earn it every week. And so, you know, you'd expect that on the men's campus. On the women's campus, you know, we had partners in town. We had a great, you know, chance to do an Easter egg hunt, candy and that. You know, we've carried on our church services, you know, both through, you know, some streaming, of course, but also some going on live. But we, like, if you're at the women's campus on a beautiful day like today, the kids and the moms might be outside and they're going to have bubble fun and they're going to be out doing bubbles and they're going to find things to just, what do we do to take advantage of this time to be together? And, you know, we have also, it's been a great time for people to get closer to the Lord. We do, you know, some great opportunities to start every day in prayer. You know, one of the most rewarding things to me, truthfully, is at our women's campus every morning at 8:15, we do a prayer. And so we can all dial in, whether you're on campus or off. And I got to tell you, I mean, I do it just, and then we've got some ladies when they pray, I would tell you, I just told them, you just pray for me every morning. And there is nothing the enemy's going to put in front of me when I hear you pray.
Hey, Jim, one of the ways, I don't know why this illustration or this metaphor comes to mind, but whenever I'm around you, I feel like you are, for me, you know, in boxing, when a boxer gets hit and they're kind of woozy and they're not sure, and they go over to their corner and their trainer or manager, whoever, brings that smelling salt, you know, that they put under their nose to kind of wake them up to reality. I feel like that's what you do. You do that for me, but I feel like you do that for so many people because you're just you're such a gracious and kind reminder that, hey, there are some hard spots in life, but God is doing great work even still. Do you feel like that's a role that you play for people, just kind of reminding them of, hey, let me just tell you what life might be like in other parts of Atlanta?
Yeah, you know, Clay, I think God, you know, you've heard me say, I believe God has the poor for us. You know, he could wipe them away tomorrow. I need them in my life. My life's a lot different because of that. But, you know, we've seen it with our donors. You know, I'm on, you know, our team that talks to our donors. I can't tell you how many people we're praying for that are donors that are calling in who, you know, their business is in trouble or something has happened. Or, you know, I just got literally this morning a card from a donor who lost a brother-in-law to the disease. Now, they send you on the note to let you know that on a check that they were sending in. Now, you know, so to me, that, to your point, and I would say with our clients, one of the biggest things is this chance to say, you know, God hasn't missed this. In fact, it was crazy. Our our first Sunday after we shut down kind of and went to emergency mode, we had four men come to Christ in our church service on that Sunday morning. And so it's like in the midst of all of this, we've seen God show up. And, you know, truthfully, through partners like you guys too, you know, the encouragement is enormous. You know, one of the hardest decisions we had to make was not let volunteers on campus.
Right.
Because to try and keep them safe. Now, I want all of our volunteers and all the volunteers from Buckhead to know they're being talked about, asked about all the time. Mm. You know, you've heard me say, you don't know what it means to show up to somebody who their whole life people have promised them that they would show up and they didn't. So when our volunteers show up, so it's been one of the hardest things. But, you know, we watch God. I mean, we struggled getting thermometers. Unbelievable problem. I was promised by health departments, health people across the city, nothing. I had three different donors, one church, drive and find thermometers. Mm. The body of Christ just really rose to the occasion. And they're praying for us. We had just an unbelievable story. We had a teacher send us, Clay, a note, prayer saying, hey, I want you to know I'm praying for you guys. I just got my $1,200 check. You guys need it worse than I do. Here it is.
Gave you the whole check.
Whole check. Wow. Now, because, you know, so I'm moved by what I see people doing. You know, and I think God's in the midst of all this. He hasn't left us. I mean, I've loved what Andy said around the whole thing of fear. And, you know, and for us, we need to be wise and we're not being foolish. But I think as well, you know, to live through COVID and live physically, but not live spiritually for eternity. To us, I had one of our team share, it's just heightened the whole awareness to everybody of the importance of the work we do. Because even getting you out of being homeless and having you have a place to live, that's, you know, Denver Moore had said, and from same kind of difference as me, we're all gonna be homeless someday. Question is, where are you gonna spend? Where's your home permanently be? And that's what I love, is we get the chance to do both.
Well, thank you. Thanks for being such a powerful and influential voice, and you do it in such a gracious, kind way. But I want to, I would be remiss if we didn't talk about ways that people can help. People are going, we've had so many people ask, so many people want to help. Obviously, one of the best and easiest ways to help is by giving, not easiest, but maybe simplest, is through just giving generosity financially to Atlanta Mission, which we would certainly encourage anybody listening to do. But are there any other ways, Jim, that y'all are recommending people right now?
Yeah, I think there's a couple things I would just ask, Clay. So I think continue to pray for us and our team. You know, I would feel incredible. Our staff has been unbelievable. You know, you spoke to us a few years ago about, you know, how to lead when you're not in charge. Well, you know what? When you get in the middle of a crisis, leaders get an opportunity. And it's been unbelievable to watch our teams lead through this process. Mm. Unbelievable. So I would say just continue to pray for strength and wisdom for us. I mean, it is so important. How do we navigate this? What does reopening look like for us? How do we begin to do that? How do we really do that? And so I just, for that whole thing of prayer. The other is, if you go to our website, you can see our you know, kind of what we call critical needs right now. You know, it's fun to watch Amazon packages show up. Mm-hmm. People have responded because, you know, we'll, like, snacks are a big deal for us. Because, you know, like I just talked about how many people are eating more snacks right at home. So you got 200 women and kids at campus, you know, extra food, and food makes a big difference. So I think looking at those critical needs, we've had people truthfully buy meals. Like, one of the unique things they do is, okay, you know, buy a bunch of Chick-fil-A sandwiches, enough, because we need it cooked in a commercial kitchen because we can't run the risk of bringing any disease in.
That's
but
right.
That's been a fun thing to be able to do. And then, you know, if you go to our website, it'll show you some of those items, but that meals, the critical needs list is really, but I would just tell you, pray for both our clients and our team in the midst of this. Mm-hmm. God has given us a peace, you know, that's been pretty unbelievable, to be frank. How you have the number of people we do on a block stay together and do well together is amazing. And so those would be the big things. But, you know, you guys, you have stood with us. You know, you talked about our whole transformation model. Hey, you guys were the initial investors to Be Rich that helped us deliver the whole thing around finding hope and choose help, because you said, we think this will make a difference. Mm. The other thing I would just say, Clay, in regards to the help, we stood ready for this crisis, not because of the crisis, but because you guys have been faithful for years. Mm. You know, I tried to say to people, you know, they're like, the city had to stand up an emergency hotel, which was, we critically needed. But you know what? We were ready. We were ready because people have been faithful, and God's people have been faithful for 80 years in the case of the Atlanta Mission. And so to all of you, your faithfulness in the past prepared us for something none of us saw coming. And your faithfulness now is helping us serve during the midst of this. And as you know, the thing is, we go on, we're going to continue to serve. And you know, our prayer is God will use this mightily in people's way.
Jim, that's a sermon right there. I don't know if you got any speaking engagements coming up, but you should use that, because if you don't, I'm going to.
It's all yours.
Faithfulness in the past to set us up to be able to serve people now. That is beautiful. Hey, I just want to challenge everybody listening to this. Do something. Do one thing. Pick one thing. Go to Atlanta Mission's website and make a commitment that you're going to do one thing over the next week to try to help Atlanta Mission. They're doing some incredible work in our city, and we couldn't feel more grateful to get to partner with you. And we want to do everything we can do to try to help you out. So, Jim, thanks for your time. Thanks for your influence. Thanks for your voice. Stay safe.
Yeah, Clay, thank you guys. And thanks to the Buckhead family. Your guys' incredible faithfulness and encouragement means more than you guys will ever know.
We're glad to do it. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Buckhead Church Podcast. If you'd like more content, you can always check out our services live or on demand at buckheadchurch.org. And if you want to experience community anytime, anywhere, go to buckheadchurch.org/groups.